Hi, this is Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, a live radio show devoted to our favorite companion pet, the dog. We're all in the doghouse every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. I'm your host, Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. I'm a professional dog trainer and a behavior consultant, and I work with all breeds of dogs with all manner of behavioral issues. I've had experience working with people who might be first-time dog owners, who have even experienced, who have not had any experience and don't have a good understanding of why their dogs do what they do. It's very common for people to complain to me that their dogs are stubborn or spiteful or they refuse to listen. I hear comments like, if we don't get our dogs to behave, we're going to put them in a shelter. Unfortunately, by the time many people do call me for help, their dog's behaviors may have already become habitual. I bring this program to you, our listeners, in the hopes of helping you learn how to effectively communicate to your dogs and how to create a long-lasting and trusting relationship with them. Today, I was supposed to have a guest by the name of Irvin Cannon, and our topic was going to be, are mutts smarter than pedigree dogs? However, we're having a difficult time getting a hold of Mr. Cannon, and we're also having a difficult time getting hold of my co-host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny. So here I am on live radio with a program that I worked very hard to get going for this morning, and unfortunately it's all gone down the tube, so it's just going to be ad-libbing. And so here's what I'd like you to do. If you have any problems with your own dogs, or if you have any questions about the species of dogs, please give me a call and we can have a discussion, and maybe I can offer you some advice to work things out with your dogs. If you're having house training issues, if you're having issues with your dog being afraid, that's very common, give me a call at 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360, and hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about this morning. If not, I'm just going to wing it. So, Pat, do you want to let everybody know what services I offer right here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant? Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We are live this morning, as we are every morning, and I have been stood up by a guest that was supposed to talk to us about a book that he wrote. And the book is really a good book. It's called For the Love of Dog Tales, And it, each chapter is devoted to a particular breed of dog, and each chapter is devoted to one dog. And Mr. Irvin, each chapter is kind of written by the dog itself. So it's kind of neat to... the dogs are talking to one another, and you can see what the dogs are thinking, and it's really pretty cool. But unfortunately, he's not here to talk to us about the book today. My co-host Karen Fazio, I don't know what happened to her, so here I am all by myself talking on the radio, and I really would love it if you would call me if you have any problems with your dogs. And so I wonder if we can get a discussion going about how to choose a dog trainer. When people call me and they say, I'd like some information, and all they're interested in is how much I charge. That's not, I mean, I understand the economy is really bad today, but price is not everything. You could, if price is the only thing that you're thinking about to determine whether or not you're going to train with a person, or if you have a serious issue going on with your dog, try not to let price or fee be your total guiding factor. What happens is that you can get somebody who's seems pretty cheap, and you hire them, and that person comes to your house, and they don't know what they're doing. It's like anything else. You know, everybody who, doctors, lawyers, they all go to college, they all get an education. With dog training, people don't have to have credentials in order to put a shingle out that says that they're a dog trainer. Ideally, you want to ask this trainer what their credentials are. Do they belong to any professional associations? Have they been to any kind of school? Have they studied dog training? And who did they study with? What experience do they have? How long have they been training? You can also tell a lot of times by going to somebody's website what method of training that this trainer is using. When I want to research somebody, and they have a website, I'll go to the website and look at the pictures of the dogs that are shown, and I'm particularly interested in the type of collar that the dogs are wearing on the photos that this trainer has on their website. So if I see a choke collar or I see a prong collar, I click off because I don't want any dog to be trained with a metal collar. It's not necessary. Those metal collars can cause a lot of emotional damage as well as physical damage to the dog's neck. So, by the way, I think Karen has joined us. Karen, are you there?
Here. I was having problems with my lines this morning. How are you?
I'm good. A little frazzled. Our guest never showed up.
What happened?
Our guest never showed up.
No.
I mean, the book that he wrote is really good. I'm in the process of reading it, and I'm really enjoying it. That's that book called For the Love of Dog Tales by Irvin Cannon. I'm only into the second chapter because I just got a copy of the book, and it's really good, Karen. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but it's written from the dog's perspective. The first chapter was about a pit bull who was in a fighting ring, and that was pretty horrendous to read about, but it's a pretty bloody sport. Everybody knows that, but the dogs are together in a kennel, and they're talking to one another, and they're doing things together, and it's really cool how the author puts this together. And the second chapter is about a gorgeous female German Shepherd dog by the name of Helena. And poor thing, she goes to be trained to be a police dog, and all the male dogs are picking on her. They're all making fun of her and telling her she shouldn't be training, that she's a wimp and she's not going to make it, and they're making her feel miserable. But again, it's the dogs are talking, and it's really, really a cool book. But anyway, he's not here to promote it, so...
You know, when you opened the show, you were talking about... what to look for in a professional dog trainer.
Yeah.
I just would like to share a quick story, if
okay.
you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I had gone to, in fact, this video is on my website of this golden lab, and she had such bad fear issues. Mm. I mean, this poor dog, one, she has epilepsy.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so she's already, there's a medical a medical problem there.
Right.
She had a seizure when she was a puppy, and she's on phenobarbital. But they called me in because this dog was so fearful that anybody that comes into the house, the dog goes under the couch and she doesn't come out.
Oh.
I mean, if you go to my website, and I'll give you my website in a little bit, you can actually see this dog, and I do several things with her. I have a thunder shirt on her. I have a calming cap on her, which is a sheer covering that covers the eyes. The dog could still see, but it kind of filters out some of the scary stuff. And she responded very well to that. But in one of the trainings, when I went there, we discussed, you know, that the dog had some past training. And she said, the owner said, that they brought in this trainer, and it's one of those very popular dog training companies that are driving around these days.
Yeah, they use a shock collar. Oh, I know who you mean.
Shock collars, chains.
Yeah, they throw bags of chains at people.
And you know, sitting on the couch, she brought it out. Is this chain in a like a nylon covering with their logo emblazoned on it? I mean, you want to talk about horrendous?
I know.
You know, here's a dog that had underlying medical issues, that had most likely genetically based fear. And they were and this trainer was trying to train this dog by scaring it to death and punishing it with physical corrections and very harsh treatment. And, you know, when you're looking for a dog trainer, they really need to know about a lot of things. They need to know, they're not a veterinarian, but they really need to, you know, talk about maybe that there might be a medical cause to this, or, you know, has your dog been to the vet lately? Did you report the behavior to the vet? You know, these are the kinds of questions that you want to ask a trainer so that you make sure you get a good one. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask, you know, what kind of experience do you have? You know, come up with a scenario. You know, imagine that you're training a German Shepherd that attacks somebody. What would be your technique? You know, and see what they say. I mean, are they going to throw a shock collar on the dog and prevent it from doing that? Or are they going to try to, you know, make the dog become more friendly and be able to tolerate, you know, people coming into the house? And, you know, how do they go about it? So, I mean, if you think about yourself as a person that's seeking treatment from a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I can guarantee you're not going to go to anybody that smacks you in the face.
Right. Listen, Karen, you know what? One of the things that I'm experiencing, especially with the down economy, I'll get a call from somebody who leaves me a message, a voicemail. Please call me. I'm having problems with my dog. So I'm one of these people that, I try to call back as soon as I possibly can.
Right, me too.
So I call back, and I'll say, you know, I'm returning your call. This is Renee, the dog trainer. How can I help you? Tell me a little. And which one are you? I don't remember who you are. So that tells me that they've gone and done a Google search, and they have called everybody on the page of their Google search page, and they've called so many people, they don't even remember who they're talking to. I mean, that's not the way to go with this. If you have severe behavior problems with a dog, you need to be very selective in who you choose.
You know, I agree with you. I don't mean to cut you off. But, you know, when I get calls like that, and I call it fishing calls, people going fishing. They're fishing around for prices. They're fishing around for personalities. And you know what? I wasn't always a dog trainer. And I could remember, you know, years ago when I was having problems with my own dog and going through the Yellow Pages, it's a daunting task. And it's scary. You don't know who you get. Nobody wants to talk to you on the phone. So, you know, when I get calls like this, I'll talk to the person about, you know, what's going on, and see if I could give them a couple of pointers. But in that phone call, I ask them if they're searching for trainers, and they say yes, and I say that's a very good thing, because you want to shop around. You want to make sure that you get a good trainer. But the number one resource that I tell them, put the phone book down, get away from the computer, and I want you to, get away from the computer temporarily, but then go back on, and I want to give you this website. And I give them the APDT website, so yeah. that if they are searching for a trainer, they could go there, they could browse around, and they could make calls from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And I discuss their issue a little bit, and I tell them, you know, in your search, you know, if you're looking for price, I'm a little pricey. You might find somebody on there that's a little less pricey in your area, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the meantime, you know, while you're searching for your trainer, call me, and
mm-hmm.
I'll try to help you out as much as I can over the phone
mm-hmm.
until you get somebody in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of rare. I don't think too many people are giving away business like that.
No. No, I mean, if somebody contacts me from out of town, you know, and I don't know anyone who I can refer the people to that I would trust myself, yeah, I'll send them to APDT or I'll look myself to see if anybody has a familiar name to me, and that's when I go and check their website out, just like I was saying earlier. I want to check their website out. I want to see how they talk. If they start saying things like, you have to be the boss and you know, your dog, you have to dominate your dog and he has to learn to the language that they use, it sounds very confrontational.
Right.
You know, like your dog is just about ready to steal your keys and rob your house and take over. You know,
and so the dog should never sleep with its owner. Who makes this stuff up?
Well, here's the thing that you know what? I do have an opinion about that.
Yes, I do. As long as you're not having confrontations on that.
Let me just get a word in edgewise here.
Go ahead.
When I work with puppies, first of all, and they tell me that the puppy is in the bed already, I get a little nervous because maybe the puppy came from a shelter and they don't know anything about the parent, you know, they don't know anything about the gene pool, so that they don't know really exactly how this dog might develop over time. Or if I work with a rescue dog who is very new to the home, I don't want the dog sleeping in the bed right away, because I want the dog to become, well, if it's a puppy, I want the dog to be about a year and a half, 2 years old, at least go through their adolescence.
Right.
Let's see what behaviors they're going to come up with and how challenging they may be, whether it's from genetics or whether it's from early learned behaviors, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So sleeping in the bed, to me, is one of the highest value privileges you can give a dog. So unless that dog's behavior is exemplary, pretty much as perfect as can be, no, I don't want the dog in the bed. I've had too many owners get bitten in the bed because maybe they rolled over on the dog, or the dog started resource guarding that spot on the bed. You know, I don't want that to happen, and I want to prevent it if I possibly can. So sleeping in the bed, I tell people, you know, you can have the dog sleeping in your bedroom. You can have the dog sleeping in its crate. You can have the dog sleeping on its own bed next to your bed. And I think that's a much better way to start, Karen, than right away putting the dog in the bed, putting the puppy in the bed. Once you put a dog in the bed, I mean, you're not getting the dog out that easily.
Right. And you know what? You made some really valid points. And let me tell you, folks, this is what comes from a professional dog trainer. My point I was trying to say, and I should have said it early before I, you know, as I was discussing the bed, but some of these trainers will tell you, don't let the dog sleep in the bed because it's, you know, the dog will think it's dominant. But you know what? It's not true. And you know what? Renee just gave you a whole litany of reasons why she believes it's not a good idea. I have a whole litany of reasons why I think it is a good idea.
Right.
Especially with dogs who might be fearful or have problems with, you know, being alone, and you know, it could be a good bonding time. But from your point of view, that's some really, really good point.
Well, let's back up a minute, Karen. So you and I can have a discussion. There's nothing that says that you and I can't debate an issue.
Exactly.
So let's take the fearful dog, or let's take the dog that has separation anxiety, and you put that dog in your bed. Now, here's my point of view on that. Unless the dog is doing really, really well and is building up, you're helping to build that dog's confidence and the anxiety is beginning to reduce, maybe so. Maybe being in the bed would be a good way to, you know, help that bonding experience and all of that. But if the dog is already a Velcro dog, and he is so dependent on the people he's living with, I would not recommend the dog sleep in the bed. Okay, so see, there you go.
You can't generalize.
So
definitely.
It depends on the dog. It depends on the issue, if there is even an issue. It just all depends. I don't want my dog in the bed because, quite honestly, I don't like the grit. I don't like the sand that tracks in my bed and the hair next, on my pillow. I can't stand it. But I do love having my dog in his own bed right next to mine. I love that.
Right. My dogs don't come on my bed, only because they're very large. Mm-hmm. I have a gigantic hound. She's over 100 pounds. And I have a German Shepherd that's over 100 pounds. And
right.
Quite often, if you have more than one dog, all the dogs want to be on the bed.
Exactly.
And guess what? There's no room for me.
Right.
But, you know what? When they were a puppy and they were jumping up and down on the bed, I didn't make a big deal about it. You know, when they jumped on the bed, I walked out of the room, went downstairs, left them by themselves. And you know what? The bed became not such a great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, when I go upstairs to go to bed, my Shepherd will jump on the bed, and he stays there for about, like, maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is typical Shepherd behavior. Yeah. You know, I shut the light off, I roll over, he jumps off the bed and takes a place outside my bedroom door.
Right. He takes
that's,
up his
that's
position.
That's pretty much every Shepherd on the planet.
Dog.
I mean,
sure.
I'm sure there are the exceptions. But, mm-hmm. Even my hound, I mean, she loves the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't really go on my bed anymore. And mm-hmm. she'll go on the guest bed as mm-hmm. long as nobody's in there.
Right.
But, you know, we never really made a big deal about the bed and who has the bed and get off, and we kind of made it like it's not such a great place,
mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
there's no action there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can have a dog that loves the bed and just they don't care if you're there
because
it's soft and it's comfortable, and in a case like that you want to teach on.
Mm-hmm. Up and
you
off.
You want to teach off.
That's what I do. Up and off.
And you want to make off a lot more fun than the up.
Exactly.
So that they're inclined to get off when you tell them to get off.
Right. That goes along with other furniture too, Karen. It's a
Absolutely.
Good topic because a lot of dogs, they sneak up on the sofa. They want to be up there. Some people, and it's funny, every Great Dane I've ever worked with has always had sofa privileges. I mean, they're big dogs, and sometimes the sofa privilege might be just putting your butt down on the sofa. They're funny. They sit on the sofa with their feet on the floor and their butt is on the cushions. I don't know.
Great.
But so I do teach up and off with the sofa too, and I'll tell people the dog needs to be invited up. That would go
mm-hmm.
along with the bed too. Don't just sail up on the bed and take your spot there. You need to wait until I invite you up on the sofa or the bed. And then if I do ask you to get off, I really need you to get off. So I want the dog to know that this is a privilege. It's not a right. It's my furniture. It's my house. And so if I need you to get off at any given time, I'm going to teach you to get off, and I'm going to reward you for getting off.
Now, Reedy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
This is part of the Nothing in Life is Free.
Absolutely.
Program.
Nothing in Life is Free. No free lunch program. I call it a Say Please program.
Mm-hmm.
You need to ask permission for everything that you want in your life and everything that you need in your life to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we can do? We can explain to people why you and I feel that that's such an important program to implement in the household with the dogs. Because it isn't a matter of us dominating the dog. It isn't a matter of us telling the people you have to be the boss. What it is, in my opinion, is a matter of teaching the dog that there are rules to be followed, and this is one way that a dog can understand what is expected of the dog without having to correct the dog in the first place. You start out setting these rules. You start out teaching the dog that everything is given to you with love. And on a positive basis, all you have to do is ask permission, and all you have to do is either sit or give a paw or give me eye contact. Just something simple.
I consider the Nothing in Life is Free program to be the most humane thing that you can do for a dog.
Absolutely.
Watch any show on nature. It could be about giraffes, it could be about elephants, it could be about wild dogs, it could be about wolves. It could be about insects. Their daily life is such a struggle.
Mm.
Every day they have to work so hard just to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you could just go to a bowl. I mean, it's really a rough world out
there. They have to work to earn everything that they get.
And the breeds that we have today, even though they're sleeping and laying on our couch or sitting in our laps, they were bred for a particular job.
Absolutely.
And they don't have these jobs anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. come on, unless you own a farm, who has sheep? You know, if you have a border collie,
right.
Or, you know, who has you know, something for a German shepherd to do, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, even little dogs like the Maltese, and, you know, they're circus creatures, you know,
mm-hmm.
but they were bred to do a specific job, and
mm-hmm.
they come into our houses, and we want them to be couch potatoes, we want a buddy, but we're really not giving them something that's very vital to their life. Now, you may not be able to go out and buy sheep and let your border collie or your German shepherd, you know, herd sheep, but you could certainly give him another job to do. Say, please, you know,
mm-hmm.
touch my hand before we open the door.
Right.
I want you to sit, and I
mm-hmm.
want you to wait until I feed you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come when called. All these things,
mm-hmm.
you know, the dog is earning, and so you're actually using that program, the Nothing in Life is Free, or
mm-hmm.
the Say Please program, as you say, you know, and putting it into the dog's life, so it does have a job. It may not be hurting sheep, but now it's doing something else.
Right.
And, you know, come on. Think about it. If you're sitting home all day doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
it's horrible.
It's very bad.
You need to have something to do.
And especially if you're by yourself. If the dog is by himself, that people don't realize how social these animals are. They hate being alone. So any dog that does not develop separation anxiety, I'll tell you what, everybody's lucky that every dog in the world doesn't develop separation anxiety because they hate being alone.
You know, and you know, being alone is a skill. It's not something that comes naturally to the dog, just like you had mentioned. You know, I don't want to go off on a separation anxiety discussion, but a big mistake a lot of people make when they bring a puppy into the house is they lavish all this attention on the puppy. They have it with them 24/7,
right.
Even in their bed, like
right.
And the dog never learns how to be comfortable in its own skin.
I'm very worried when somebody calls me to work with a puppy and they tell me, because one of the first questions is what is the length of time that your puppy has been left alone? And many people will say, oh no, he has never been left alone. We took 2 weeks off from work, and we wanted to devote that time totally to the puppy. And so in 2 weeks, that puppy should have learned to be left alone for short little periods of time every single day, and that's not happening.
Right.
So now we have a dog that's freaking out, you know, because you guys have to go back to work.
Absolutely, and it is a learned skill. It's something you have to teach them. It's an uncomfortable thing.
Right. Hey, listen, Karen, we never played your commercial because you weren't here. So I'm going to have Pat put your commercial on. I want everybody to know what services you offer in the Keyport, New Jersey area as the very professional dog trainer that you are and the behavior consultant that we know that you're at.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
To Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm one of your co-hosts, Sharini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
And we've had a great show. We talked about many subjects. If you want to hear this show again or get any information about our show, you can go to my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. And Karen, you want to give out your website?
Sure, it's www.thedogsupernanny.com.
And we have podcasts for every show that we've done. You can click on the podcasts and listen to shows. We have subjects ranging from soup to nuts, health issues, behavior issues, obedience training, lots of stuff on puppies and lots of stuff about dogs and kids, safety issues with those two, very common. So, you know, if you're interested in listening to other shows that we have, please visit our websites. And I hope you'll tune in again next week from 10 to 10:30, and Karen and I will present more information for you. And in the meantime, I hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya.
I'm glad you're home.